British Sky Broadcasting and Screen Door present Spirit Bear, the Simon Jackson story. Directed by Stephen Skaney. Starring Mark Rendell as Simon Jackson, Graham Greene as Lloyd Blackburn, Katie Stewart as Marcus, and Ed Begley Jr. as Frank Perdue. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. The tug pulls thousands of logs fastened together like a huge raft across an expanse of open water. The sun glistens on the sea. Forest-covered mountains. An island rises out of the blue water. Cloudless blue sky. Snow-capped mountains. Their tree-covered slopes stretch down to the water. In the midst of the conifer forest, a clearing next to the water. Felled trees scattered on the ground. A track runs past. Lime green trees wave in the breeze against a blue sky. A lorry stacked with logs hurtles past. The lorry passes a car park. A dusty pickup pulls in and parks in front of a cafe. On the door of the truck, a sign showing a tree with the initials RPS underneath it. An elderly man, Lloyd Blackburn, gets out carrying a mug. As he looks at his watch, he accidentally tips out the contents. He puts the mug on the bonnet and reaches through the window for his rucksack. Another pickup pulls in. Lloyd takes a camera out of his bag. Lloyd looks up as two scruffy men get out of the pickup.
Lloyd?
Hazel? Moose?
Shirt. Is that, silk?
No, it's cotton.
Seen you around for a while, eh? Where you been?
City.
Weasel snatches the camera.
What you come back for?
He throws the camera down, kicks it, then pushes Lloyd.
Hey, you guys got your job, I got mine.
A red-haired boy, Simon Jackson, takes photos in the forest. He smiles as he looks around. Sunlight streams through the canopy of trees. As he walks through the woods, he hoists his bag over his shoulder. He looks up as he walks through a shaft of sunlight. He takes a picture as he goes downhill, touching tree trunks, descending through the woods. He pauses and removes the camera strap from his neck. As he looks over his shoulder, then up at a bird, the rock he stands on gives way and he falls. There are piles of boulders on the forest floor. Wincing, Simon sits up, brushing the dirt off his sleeves. He stands up and looks around. He climbs across some large rocks. Sunlight streams through the dense forest. He steps back and climbs down the moss-covered rocks. He stands by the edge of the water, the rocks reflected in it. He turns, smiling, and walks away. He stops in his tracks. A brown bear wades through the shallows and onto the boulders towards Simon. Ashen-faced, he backs away clumsily towards the rocks. The huge bear lumbers slowly towards him. Simon looks up and back to see a pure white bear striding down towards him. He glances at the brown bear, which is advancing on him. The white bear hops across the rocks at the water's edge, and while Simon stares open-mouthed, it trots towards the brown bear, which stops, drops of water glistening on its coat. The white bear climbs over a rock, confronting the brown one. The two bears strike out at each other. The white one is streaked in blood. Simon looks behind him, then over at the fighting bears. Suddenly they stop. The brown bear opens its mouth. The brown bear turns and moves away, watched by the white one. The white bear turns and looks at Simon. He stares back with a fascinated expression. As the bear pads towards him, Simon sinks to his knees. The white bear stops inches from him. Simon grips his camera. The bear lifts his head. Simon photographs the bear as it stands in front of him. It pants. Simon watches transfixed, his head on one side. A smile spreads across his face. Grey storm clouds gather over the mountains by the water's edge. Simon emerges from the forest, zipping up his anorak, his red hair damp, looking around.
Need some help, kid?
No, actually.
You know your way out of here?
No.
Neither do I. Just kidding. Come on.
Hey, I just saw this bear.
Congratulations.
No, it was white, like not a polar bear. You ever hear that?
What do you mean white?
Well, white, like, you know, white.
Nah, nobody sees spirit bears, kid.
Spirit bears?
Not this far out.
I'm telling you.
All right. Where?
I...
Did you get a picture of him?
I don't know. I mean, I tried to.
Interesting.
Hey.
Simon follows Lloyd through the trees.
These spirit bears.
Yeah, there's only about 300 of them. Mostly they live along the coast west of here. The Princess Royal Island.
They reach a clearing of felled trees.
Somebody's been busy.
The landscape is scarred by tree stumps and discarded timber. Simon looks horrified.
How to make a parking lot out of a forest?
Well, this is nothing, kid. West of here, they're chopping down 1,000-year-old trees the same way. Because, you know, everybody needs their lawn furniture. That's where your bear lives. Or lived, to keep this up.
Lloyd points to Simon's camera.
Goodbye, your camera. Mine kind of got busted.
He passes it to Lloyd, who photographs the devastation. He hands back the camera.
Here. Thanks. It's Lloyd Blackburn, RPS.
He gives Simon his card.
Rainforest Protection Society?
Yep.
Protection Society? I mean, isn't it your job to protect wildlife this?
And what do you suggest?
I don't know, I mean, someone should complain right to the government.
Well, you better get writing. Ain't a whole lot of time left.
Lloyd turns and leaves.
I'll give you a call when those pictures are developed.
Simon stares at the felled area, distressed.
Kid, this way out.
An area of forest stripped of trees, the ground bare. Across an expanse of water beyond the trees under a cloudless blue sky, the skyscrapers of Vancouver clustered next to the ocean. Teenagers file into a classroom, amongst them Simon.
All right. The name is Star. That's Ms. Star to all of you. And this is Mod West Civ. Modern Western Civilization. Or how the Western world has evolved, politically, socially, economically. What's your problem?
Simon has no chair.
Oh, upped our numbers, have they? Big surprise. Here we go. Excuse me. Seat. Your name?
Simon Jackson.
Simon Jackson?
Yeah.
Well. What do you know? In fact, what do you know? You, who's the premier of British Columbia? Oh, busted. Bet you're glad you sat in the front row today, huh?
Anybody else?
Oh, come on, people. When I was your age, I was protesting America's involvement in the war.
Won't that be the Civil War?
It takes people with knowledge and with imagination to make a difference in this world. Well, oddly enough, it seems that one of you is determined to make a difference, or at least try to. Let's see. Here we are. Dear editor, I am a 15-year-old student starting grade 10 at West Vancouver Secondary School. This past summer, while camping with my parents, I had the privilege of sighting a white bear. It was along the coast near Terrace. Now, although few people know of these animals, they are called spirit bears. And their very existence is threatened by the clear-cutting practices of the lumber industry. There's even a picture here. Cute, huh?
She holds up the newspaper.
Please help save this amazing animal by writing to Sajala Sebnis, Minister of the Environment, etc., 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 blah, blah, blah. Sincerely, Simon Jackson.
A girl stares.
Mr. Jackson, would you care to stand up?
Sure.
So, Simon, what made you write this?
I just needed to do something.
Do something?
To help, you know, the bear.
Well, I have to tell you, it's got a lot of personality appeal. I don't think I've ever even seen an albino bear before.
Actually, it's not an albino. It's called the spirit bear, Ursus Americanus Cremode, also known as the Cremode bear, after Francis Cremode, the scientist who discovered it, well, almost 100 years ago.
He's embarrassed. The class stares.
The internet.
Miss Starr smiles.
They're really rare. Probably only a few hundred left. And they live exclusively here, just up the coast. Nowhere else on Earth.
Wow. How about that, huh? It says here in your letter that they're threatened.
Their environment is endangered by the lumber industry. Whatever.
Ooh. Opposing view.
Hey. Enviro freak. The lumber industry? For your information, that's where we get paper from. Duh. What's on the desks?
Well, the bear.
The bear.
It's cute.
Cute.
There's more than enough room up there for bears. And those poor people have to make a living.
It is the number one industry in the province, you know.
It's more than just about the money. $30 billion?
But I'm
misinformed. That's what. Way too much time in your hands.
Okay, well, I haven't witnessed this much political excitement since Meech Lake.
The class looked disinterested.
Okay, anyway. Mr. Jackson, I have to say that I applaud your efforts sincerely. However, I don't know of many teenagers willing to write the government. Unless, of course, it's to lower the drinking age. Okay, get out your books. I'm going to make you read out loud to each other. Oh, no.
The government building. Sajala Sabnis enters the Ministry of Environment office.
Ah, you just missed him. Who's that?
Who else?
Mr. Jackson. And more mail today. Kids!
Sajala plucks a picture of a bear off a computer.
Whose side are you on?
She crumples it and walks away.
Oh, the mock-ups came in from the printer. What do you think? They need an answer yesterday.
She holds up two posters of Sajala, one smiling, one serious.
The one on the left. I don't trust the other one.
She selects the smiling one. Simon is sticking up bear pictures on a notice board at school.
Whatever.
What?
The boy confronts Simon.
Nothing you do is going to make a difference.
The boy leaves. Simon walks away, shaking his head. The girl watches him as he passes by her locker. A photo develops in a tray. The girl barges in on Simon in the school darkroom as if she's hiding from someone.
Whoa, excuse me.
She turns off the stereo and peers out round the door, then shuts it and switches on the light.
Okay.
Simon looks exasperated at his developing tray.
Marcus, from Star's class.
And your point would be?
She plunks down some stationery.
What's this, Winona?
Impulse control disorder. Anyway, what's this? Haven't you heard of digital?
Thank you.
He snatches a photo of a bear off her.
You're really on about this bear, aren't you? Sad, though. Gotta think big.
Can't afford big.
And there I can help you.
She picks a cupboard lock.
So what do you need? Like, A1 triple-coated poster board?
Look, I don't need your help, okay?
Really? Because you could have fooled me.
He looks fretful as she takes paper out of the cupboard.
Look, a bunch of letters and some crummy posters aren't gonna do squat. Gotta go big, Jackson. Go big or go home.
She picks up her things and snatches some items from the cupboard and leaves, checking the coast is clear before she goes out of the dark room, leaving the door open. Simon, irritated, pulls the door shut to restore the darkness. He kicks the cupboard door in frustration as he returns to the bench and his ruined photo. He lifts the tray. Underneath, the Vancouver Sun newspaper, the headline, Royal Visit. He stares at a picture of Princes Harry and William, waving, as if he has an idea. Marcus enters her wood-panelled home.
Hello?
She kicks off her shoes.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
She picks up the stereo remote. She puts down the remote and takes off her shoulder bag, plonking it on the kitchen table. She pulls out some toys and stationery. She holds up green netting with a security tag, then tosses it aside. She takes out some nail varnish, sits down, and puts her bare foot on the table to start painting her toenails. She hurriedly screws the cap on the nail varnish. A clock tower, it's 3:25. Below, Simon waits by a telephone kiosk, checking his watch, looking impatient. Marcus saunters over.
Jackson, you rang?
You're late.
Your point would be?
Hold this.
He hands Marcus a folder of bear photos, steps in the kiosk, puts on glasses, and comes out.
Jackson?
He pins on a fake press pass.
Jackson?
He smiles and leaves.
This better be good.
Come on.
Okay.
In the city, crowds of girls clutching roses greet the two princes as they step out of the car waving. Girls hold up placards declaring their love. Harry and William move through the crowd shaking hands. Photographers jostle for position. Simon pushes his way through a group of reporters, followed by Marcus.
What now, Einstein?
He holds up a microphone.
Jackson!
He winks at her.
Thank you.
He takes the folder of bear photos from her and pushes his way through the crowd of girls and press. Marcus watches admiringly as he gets to the front and taps one of the princes on the back, engaging him in conversation and showing him the folder. Prince William takes the folder from Simon, who keeps talking to him. They shake hands. The girls in the crowd smile and laugh. With a wry smile, Marcus claps as she watches Simon. Simon smiles as the princes and their father get back in their car. Simon talks to reporters.
A white bear that lives only in British Columbia. Their habitat is threatened by the clear-cutting practices of the forestry industry.
What did Prince William have to say about it?
Where did you hear about the spirit there? Ow!
Marcus gives Simon a thumbs up.
There are less of
a man in a woolly hat wearing glasses reads the headline in the Vancouver Sun, The Prince and the Bear Boy. There's a photo of Simon on the front page. The man pushes a ginger cat off his computer with a paper. There are photos of bears and a poster of a band, The Trues, on the wall of Simon's bedroom. A copy of the newspaper is on his desk near the stereo. There's a poster of the band on his door. Simon is making a call, looking apprehensive.
Yes, hello. May I please speak to Frank Perdue? Do you know when he'll be in? Yes, if you could please tell him that Simon Jackson called. It's about the spirit bear.
Yes, I've called before many times. Thanks. Okay.
Simon's father appears.
Smooth, Mr. Bear Boy. It's time to rock and roll.
Simon grins as his father tosses him the car keys. Overflowing mailbags on Sajala's desk.
Vancouver area, kids across the province, out of province even. The mailroom won't keep it anymore. Oh, nothing.
Thanks. Penticton, Calgary, St. John's? Don't they have whales to worry about?
Our bear boy's gone bi-coastal.
They've already applied for a logging license. CLL.
Yes, and we have an election coming up.
A problem.
Not our problem. Purdue's problem. Get him on the phone.
Sajala's secretary goes to her office while her boss plays with an executive toy on the desk.
Simon.
I'm sure you're wondering why you're here.
Why we called you.
Please.
Sit down.
Simon is in the headmaster's office.
Now, you know our principal, Mr. Hole.
Simon, it seems you've ruffled some feathers.
We received a letter.
A call, actually, from Frank Purdue.
He's with CLL.
Continental Log and Lumber.
They're one of the largest lumber conglomerates in the province.
Your letter campaign.
The Prince.
Yeah?
Mr. Purdue is concerned that youth is not fully aware of the big picture.
He's challenging you to a public debate.
Wow.
Right here at the school.
Televised.
Whoa.
Next week.
What?
Deep breaths.
Next week?
Coloured lights flash. The school band play in front of the stage, dressed in red waistcoats. The principal shows people to their seats in the school hall. A blonde TV reporter stands by the band. A cameraman sets up his equipment. Lecterns are placed on the stage. The hall is filling with people. Bear pictures rest on the corner of the basin in the gents. Simon paces up and down, holding his notes, practicing his speech, screwing up his eyes in concentration. Miss Starr puts her head round the door.
Simon. Oh, 5 minutes.
As Simon stands in front of the mirror, a tall blonde man comes out of a cubicle and washes his hands. He gives Simon a friendly
smile.
Nervous? Yeah.
The man leaves. Simon stares in the mirror, looking anxious.
You can do this.
Simon's mother pulls up outside the school, locking the car remotely. She hurries in. His father is directing the TV crew in the hall. Marcus claps, looking bored, as Simon stands by a lectern. His mother jogs to her seat. The principal is on stage.
Good afternoon, and welcome to this very special and important debate. And now, without further ado, let's give a big West Vancouver Secondary School welcome to Mr. Frank Purdue.
The crowd applaud enthusiastically, except for Marcus, who looks disinterested. Simon's father sits down as the tall blonde man arrives on stage and shakes Simon's hand warmly. Simon looks stunned.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Students, it's indeed a pleasure to be here today.
The star leans forward. Lloyd is at the back.
Deep within the tangle of trees and running streams, a native legend is told about this amazing bear. Long ago, Raven, the creator, wanted to leave a reminder that the land was once covered by ice and snow. He turned every tenth bear white. The Raven then issued a decree. This spirit bear would live in peace and harmony forever. Limited contact with the outside world has made the bear totally trusting of humans. And it's this remote paradise, Princess Royal, where the amazing creature lives, the only habitat capable of supporting them.
Simon, where did you hear that?
Well, according to my research on an Aboriginal myth.
A myth, exactly. And with all due respect to the native community, how can a myth stand up to millions of dollars of research spent studying responsible methods of forestry? Because I can assure you, studies have been done. And hearings have been held.
Yeah, who commissioned them?
Do you think the government would issue a logging license if it thought it was going to pose an environmental risk?
Well, maybe. I
suppose... Of course they wouldn't. Let me ask you something, Simon. Have you ever been up to Princess Royal?
Well, no, but
I have many times. I've walked many sectors of that island. Believe me. You know, brown bears, black bears, albino bears. They've lived there for generations, and I can assure you they will for many years to come. At Continental Log and Lumber, we care about the environment. We really do. It's our living up there. Why would we put that at risk?
Do you care? In the end, it will be our generation who pays the price.
Simon, I recommend that you think twice before attacking an industry that means so much to so many people in this province. How do $45 million worth of lumber stack up against some anomalous albino bear? You know, for the sake of the color of fur, should thousands of families be left without a viable source of income? You know, the economy of the region, indeed the whole province, be put at risk?
I'd like you to think about that.
Simon hangs his head.
But there's something I'd like you all to think about today. That's how encouraging it is that young people get involved at this level, at any level. I think it's just great. I want to thank you all very much. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Simon.
Frank approaches Simon and shakes his hand. Some of the audience stand and clap. Lloyd shakes his head. Marcus looks unimpressed. Frank leaves the stage. Lloyd, carrying his mug, turns and leaves. Simon's father looks at his son through a camera. Simon looks disheartened. A spirit bear walks along a fallen tree in the woods. A ginger cat lies across a computer keyboard. A hand waves a rolled-up newspaper to shoo the cat away. It jumps off. Simon runs through dense woods wearing a personal stereo. He pauses. Behind him, his classmates catch up and jog past him. They said I'm just getting older. Simon looks at them, then runs off with them. The face is getting colder. So nobody's sure. You just do your best. The runners leave the woods and jog along a tarmac road. The misty skyline of Vancouver in front of them, across the water. Simon removes his earpieces as he jogs with the others. He stops with a pained expression. Marcus walks up behind him.
You know, when I get depressed, I like to shop. Lift.
She stands in front of him.
I've been really messed up.
Quit dragging your cross around, Jackson. It took a lot of guts to go up against a grade A-hole like him. Especially when you knew you didn't stand a chance. You did know that, right?
No. Why? I was right.
Right.
Dude.
He's a suit. Big cars, little shoes.
Folding his arms, Simon walks away.
Peace and harmony forever? That's your problem, you know, Jackson. If some Indian legend meant squat to anyone, don't you think this barriers would be laughing right about now? You know, whatever it is they do. Welcome to the big leagues. This is about money. It's the only thing that means anything to some corporate hard-ass from the friggin' forestry industry.
Guess if I want to make this work, I gotta think like them. Like a corporate hard-ass from the friggin' forestry industry.
Whatever gets you through the day.
See it from their side.
But it doesn't make them right.
Right.
Well, then I better get started.
Marcus's face softens.
So go crazy.
She leaves, walking behind a group of joggers. Simon stares into the distance, the city skyline behind him. He turns and jogs after Marcus. A helicopter hovers against a blue sky. Spirit bear looks up at it. Simon is with his father trying to park the car in the city.
Oh, sorry. There, that's it. Hard. It's okay, stop, stop. Okay, go back, but this time turn it to the right.
Lloyd, smiling, shakes his head as he watches from a cafe.
Stop, stop, okay, now left.
Okay, yeah, go forward, just, That's it. And stop. Okay, put it in park.
All right.
Park. Okay, turn it off.
Sorry.
Off.
As Lloyd looks at his watch, he upturns his mug of coffee.
I'll clean that up.
Okay. Let's see.
The car is a meter away from the curb.
Close. But no cigar. Good luck in there, son.
Thank you. Dad, you got any money?
Simon's father gets out his wallet.
Thanks.
He hands Simon some money. In the cafe, the waitress drops a pile of paper napkins on Lloyd's table where he sits with Simon.
Oh, you're right, Alice. You know, us tree huggers, we've been trying to save that island for years. You come along with your fuzzy buddy there and your royal entourage, and I gotta say, you did okay. You managed to piss Purdue off. But trust me, the story pretty much ends right there.
Well, and what about the bear?
Kid, you're not going to win. This is a multi-million dollar industry. It's a big old rock that's going to roll right on top of you.
But this is what you do for a living.
A clear cut. You were standing on my monument. South Purcell's, Clayquod Sound, hell, most of Vancouver Island. And for every 1,000 acres we save, 20,000 more come crashing down. It's called Compromise 101. It's an adult course.
Yeah.
Simon gets up and walks towards the door. He pauses and takes Lloyd's card out of his pocket and looks at it. He returns to Lloyd and stands over him.
Lloyd Blackburn, PhD, wildlife ecologist, conservation advocate. As if.
Simon tears up the card.
You helped save the Valkyrie Valley, made it into a provincial park, won the Order of Canada.
Lloyd's face is impassive.
Lloyd Blackburn.
Lloyd stares straight ahead. Looking anguished, Simon turns and walks away.
Sector 5. It's called Sector 5.
Lloyd points to a map on his truck bonnet.
Sector 5, this part of the island right here. We'll be moving in a couple months if they get their logging license approved.
Continental log and lumber.
So you destroy this part of the ecosystem, you can kiss that bear goodbye, and they will destroy it. They'll strip it right down to its guts and feathers. Nothing left, no trees for shelter, no salmon to eat, no nothing.
The breeding grounds.
Now, hang on, kid. You might be pushing it. You don't know a whole hell of a lot about this bear or statistically. Breeding grounds, maybe. It does live there. But you gotta have some hard evidence. You gotta have something. Look, kid, there's always going to be logging. You know that.
I know, but cutting down thousand-year-old forests? Whatever happened to responsible logging?
I'll tell you something. It's not the trees that are going to save your bear. It's the bear that's going to save the trees.
Lloyd nods knowingly at Simon and folds up the map. Simon walks with Marcus.
Sounds like an ancient Chinese proverb. I thought he was supposed to be an Indian.
Aboriginal.
Whatever.
Help harness the power of the wind.
It's your bear
that
will save the forest.
So,
these bear bears, they
could eat. Help harness the power of the wind. Help King Canada, the leader of renewable technologies.
Simon and Marcus watch a group of wind power campaigners accosting passers-by.
Freaks.
A woman in an orange cape stops a man in a suit.
Do they really think these suits are going to listen to them?
It's like a totally different planet or something.
I mean, these are the people with the power, the money. You gotta relate to them somehow. I don't know, not like this.
They watch the group of demonstrators.
Totally different species. Different species. Jackson?
Come on. If this bear...
Yeah?
If you could prove that it was a different species, or at least genetically unique...
Okay.
Not albino, not a freak of nature.
Displaced polar bear?
Please. I mean, it's bad that they're willing to move in there and destroy a thousand-year forest, but could I have a water glass, please?
thanks. Do you want anything?
No.
But if you could just prove that it was, is unique, genetically unique, then you could, argue its protection. Thanks. And the protection of its environment on a scientific level.
Endangered species.
The spotted owl.
The piping plover.
Well.
She steals chocolate.
But how would you prove it?
He watches her put it in her pocket. She looks down.
Excuse me, you gave too much.
Simon gives the shopkeeper some more money and walks away. Marcus smiles and jogs after him.
Genetically unique. Endangered.
But Jackson, how do you prove it?
Details.
I can't write.
You gotta get the word out. Package it right.
Jackson.
PR.
But you don't even
spin.
Simon spins round.
CJXD.
Welcome back. We are talking with Sajala Sabnis, the Minister of the Environment. Or should I say Ministress? Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Miss Sabnis.
Yes, hello.
I think you're doing a great job, and I hope you get reelected.
Thank you.
Is that it? Caller. Hello. Well, that was easy. We should all be like that.
Indeed.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Miss Sabnis. This is Simon Jackson.
Simon Jackson, the bear boy. Hey, you been to Buckingham Palace yet?
Yes, Mr. Jackson.
Miss Sabnis, Continental Log and Lumber has applied to log Princess Royal Island, Sector 5.
Home of the spirit bear. Did you know that?
Simon, I can assure you that the ministry has...
Is there no common ground here?
Something that could work for everybody.
Simon, our forest industry...
You do realize you'll be destroying the home of the spirit bear. And not only that. Did you know that the bear is almost certainly genetically unique? Not an albino, not a freak of nature. Genetically unique. If so, you'd be destroying a one-of-a-kind, never-to-be-replaced animal.
Now, are you comfortable with that?
Lloyd listens, leaning against his truck.
You tell him, kid.
Frank talks to the press.
Well, I'm shocked and somewhat saddened that this young man, this firebrand, would make these kinds of allegations against Continental Log and Lumber. Genetically unique? There is nothing to suggest this bear is anything of the kind. Where's the proof? That's what we want to know. Where's the proof?
Where is the proof, Simon? Where's the proof?
You can't just say these things without backing them up.
If I did this down at the station, I'd be screwed. Sued!
Yeah, hello? Hold on one second. Sorry, it's Lloyd. Blackburn? Yeah, hi.
That's pretty gutsy, kid. Listen, I got two words for you. Diogenes. Fergus Diogenes.
The man with the woolly hat is on Simon's computer screen.
Haven't got the time.
Neither does the bear. If CLL gets their logging license,
there's runoff screwing with my fish.
So then you'll do it.
Sorry, kid. I'm working on my own thing up here. Other fish to fry.
Fergus laughs and waves his arm.
Genetically modified salmon?
DNA expert, mega genius.
You may be onto something here. If you could just... explain them genetically and how screwing with their gene pool could make them extinct. People would listen to you.
Well, then you'll help the bear.
Fergus turns away. Fergus chases his cat.
Where did you find this loser?
Fergus pursues his cat around his cluttered office, watched by Marcus and Simon.
Boy, how much is it going to cost?
I've got $37 in my bank account.
Might want to get a paper route.
Fergus sits down.
Back. Of course, you're going to have to come up with your own, some genetic material.
Whoa,
Yeah, that's the kicker. Nobody ever sees them, pretty much impossible.
Marcus looks away.
Tell you what, you come up with the DNA, I'll analyze it. Hell, on the house.
But...
Hey, happy hunting.
The computer screen goes black.
Thanks loads.
Simon and Marcus walk along a school corridor.
DNA? Can't you just steal some?
Duh, from where? The gene store?
Stop, my ribs. So go up there.
Princess Royal? As if you can only get there by plane. Private plane. Wait. Rainforest Protection Society.
They walk out of the school together.
He goes up there all the time. Lloyd, I could hitch a ride, maybe. We could hitch a ride.
Maybe.
Yes.
Sounds like we're gonna get us some Ursus Americans.
Wait till you see them. I mean, you can get this close. It's awesome.
Hey, Yogi.
She jokingly stands very close to him. They both look embarrassed.
This close. Well, that is if we can find one.
But if we do...
Goodbye, Purdue.
They smile at each other, then look over at a car arriving. It's Frank Purdue pulling up outside the school.
What, is that you?
Yeah, it's my dad. Stepdad.
Frank lowers the window and rests his arm on the door.
It's on my way home. You want a ride?
Frank, you've met Simon?
Oh, yeah. Hello, son.
Simon, this is my stepdad, Frank.
Simon looks awkward.
See ya. Lighten up, Jackson.
Marcus leaves, looking miserable. Simon watches her get in Frank's car. She tosses in her bag, grumpily.
Shoplifting wasn't enough. Now you're seeing an environmentalist?
See whoever I like.
Genetic, unique. Teary teenager with a teddy bear.
Marcus looks back at Simon standing alone outside the school.
Now one's got something called integrity. Look at him.
Frank pulls away. Simon watches them drive off disconsolate, shaking his head and frowning. Turns away. A seaplane flies over forests and a river. It flies over dense conifers on the approach to Princess Royal Island, which rises up out of the water in a blue haze. The sky is cloudless, reflected in the still water. The plane flies along the path of a river lined with thick forest and scattered with rocks. Sunlight glistens on the water. The seaplane lands, sending up white plumes of spray. Simon and Lloyd travel along the river in a rubber dinghy with an outboard past rocks and lush vegetation. They pull into the riverbank. Simon tethers the dinghy to a tree. Lloyd climbs out with his bag. Camera hanging from his neck, Simon takes off his life jacket and tosses it into the dinghy as Lloyd's jacket flies past him. Simon looks out across the glistening water, smiling at the spectacular view of distant mountains.
Oh.
Simon takes pictures.
Wait till you see what's over the hill.
Lloyd leaves. Simon, putting on his rucksack, is transfixed by the view.
Come on, kid, let's go.
Reluctantly, Simon turns and follows Lloyd up a steep track. Marcus is at home, perched on a sofa, idly flicking through TV channels.
The freak storm that pummeled the town of Smith Falls Saturday lasted only minutes, but residents will be considering their loss for some time.
It's a comprehensive holiday, a mixture of religion and mythology.
You might want to do some of those outdoor activities you've been saving up for.
Marcus nods her head as she watches a band on TV.
I am white and fading, looking blind and blaming. Follow in and trailing.
She smiles and gets up. Simon follows Lloyd up a mossy bank. Lloyd stops and checks his compass.
If we just keep going this way, we'll get to the falls.
you need me for?
Watch out, slippery.
They clamber down a wooded hillside.
Well, kid, I'm not a mountain goat.
Lloyd follows Simon downhill. Simon spots white fur caught on the branch of a tree.
Hey, Lloyd.
What do you got, kid?
Hair sample. It may just be DNA.
Yeah.
The bear must likely be around here to feed.
Lloyd holds a plastic bag as Simon carefully removes the fur with tweezers.
Here.
Thanks.
He drops it into the bag. Lloyd looks up and walks away.
Could be anything, really. Mule deer, wolf. Never know. Could be a bear.
Lloyd tiptoes away, then stops, open-mouthed.
Yeah, I know. Nothing's that easy.
Simon!
Lloyd, what are you...
Lloyd beckons Simon, who joins him. Lloyd points downhill.
Yes.
Below them, a white bear pads through the trees. They watch and smile. Simon looks up at Lloyd excitedly, then scrambles down the slope.
Simon!
Gripping his camera, Simon threads his way across rocks towards the bear. The bear lopes towards him. Simon squats and takes his camera from around his neck, smiling broadly. The bear approaches him, its breath freezing. Beaming, Simon glances back at Lloyd, who watches anxiously. The bear stops right in front of Simon and looks around. It steps forward as Simon raises his camera. It licks the lens. Simon grins. Lloyd grips a tree with one hand, looking worried. Simon looks at the lens of his camera. He beams up at Lloyd. The bear stands in front of him. Lloyd nods.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? I'm worried about you.
Bears are fearless. So are you. I don't suppose that was the same bear you saw way back when, was it?
Hell if I know. They all look the same to me.
You're crazy. You're not a bed bug.
Marcus takes a letter out of a printer, studies it, then folds it. She slides it into an envelope. Simon runs on ahead of Lloyd, smiling, and jumps off a log.
Hey, Lloyd, check it out. I'm a tree hugger, man.
Simon finds a red tag on the tree he's hugging.
What's the matter, kid?
Lloyd comes over to look at it.
CLL. Looks like somebody got their logging license.
When?
Soon.
Lloyd walks away past dozens of tagged trees.
What?
Grim-faced, Lloyd walks on, followed by Simon, through the woods. He stops to survey the scene. Every tree is girdled with red tape to mark it for felling. Simon looks around, distressed. Lloyd sighs and turns to Simon.
That's it.
Lloyd looks at the trees again, then walks on. Simon stands still with an angry expression. He looks at the plastic bag he's holding containing the white bear's fur sample, then leaves. A tangle of red tape in a nest. A crow stands on it.
Well, it seems there's just no stopping Simon Jackson. The super teen environmentalist has just returned from a trip to the remote island of Princess Royal with some harsh words for the forest industry.
This ecosystem is a national treasure, a global treasure. It's the largest temperate rainforest on Earth. If you cut down these trees, you'll be destroying an ancient paradise and the home of the spirit bear.
Hey, Alice. I know that kid.
The past few weeks has been a punishing schedule for Simon, with lectures at schools and service clubs. His Spirit Bear Youth Coalition is now the largest eco-youth movement in North America, with a network of over 500,000 young people.
But in a daring move, the bear boy announced his support for a controversial initiative, which has ignited the forest industry.
We are not against logging, but what we want is responsible logging, and that means leaving Sector 5 alone. To preserve the habitat of this unique creature, we're supporting a boycott. Everyone, don't buy lumber from Princess Royal Island. Stores like Canuck Hardware, Big Box Lumber, Hardware Please. Send the message loud and clear. Our thousand-year rainforests are not for sale.
I need you in the boardroom, Mr. Purdue.
Right away.
An aerial view of Vancouver's skyscrapers. Simon and his father pull up outside the driver services building. His father is driving.
This is the deal. They always fail boys the first time. It's an insurance thing or something.
Simon smiles and gets out.
Hey, Simon.
His father holds out his hand. Simon shakes it.
Go get him, buddy.
Thanks.
Simon enters the building, watched by his father. His father notices a man playing with his little boy, swinging him in the air. Simon's father smiles. He remembers Simon as a little boy selling lemonade with a Save the Kodiak Bear sign. Next to the jug of lemonade, two toy bears. The jug becomes half empty. Simon's father watches the man swing his child around, laughing.
Excuse me, sir, could you please step out of the vehicle? Is that what I think it is?
Simon's father jumps out and puts a green sticker on the rear window.
Look who's driving now.
As Simon gets in the driver's seat and puts on his seatbelt, his father shakes his head and gets into the passenger side. They beam at each other. Simon talks to Fergus on his computer.
Listen, do you want this done fast or do you want this done right?
Look, there's no time, okay? They're tagging the trees. Listen, if there's anything I can do to help...
Not unless you got a spectral interferometer you're not using.
So how long do you think it'll take?
Down, boy. I still gotta process data from black and brown bears, you know? Comparison.
Comparisons?
Yeah, comparisons are the only thing that'll prove anything.
What are you saying?
Fergus's cat jumps from his lap onto the keyboard. Simon's screen goes black. He looks exasperated, then notices Marcus smiling in the doorway. Simon looks away and sits down at the computer, ignoring her. She turns away, unhappy, and leaves. Simon gives a talk to a class of young children.
And so, one voice can make a difference, but many voices shouted together can change the world. Now, while others don't seem to care about what happens to the spirit bear or the amazing forest it lives in, I believe that we have to stand up and be counted. And that means saving the forest the bear lives in by supporting the boycott. Thank you.
He looks awkward and turns towards a screen where a picture of a white bear is projected. He turns back and smiles at the children. Simon's mother is in a timber store.
Excuse me, this lumber, it's not that little gross stuff, is it?
Sir?
You know, honey, what is it?
Princess Royal, home of the spirit bear.
Yeah, no, you're okay with that. It's not old growth.
Great, thanks.
Simon's mother overhears the conversation and smiles.
Simon!
He's asleep in class.
Simon! Simon!
He sits up with a start.
Sorry. Yeah?
You're not hibernating, are you? You know, lately that bear's been getting a lot more attention than your schoolwork. So, maybe we can think of a way to make it work for you. Maybe extra credits.
Independent study unit?
She turns to write on the blackboard. Marcus smiles at him.
Excuse me?
It's Lloyd...
Simon, I don't care if it's
Blackburn.
Order of Canada, Lloyd Blackburn.
She shrugs.
Go on.
Hello. Yeah, just hold on one second.
Simon leaves the classroom and stands in the corridor.
Yeah, what's up?
Good news, bad news, kid.
The minister's proposing a conference with all the stakeholders with an interest in the future of Princess Royal.
That's great. Stakeholders?
Well, the usual suspects, you know, native land claims, ecotourism, local communities, the whole schmagegi.
Bring them on. Let's talk. And the bad news?
Well, at this point,
the minister is not willing to stop the logging, and Purdue is not interested in any conference. He's got his license. He don't want to listen.
Then what's the point? This is bogus. Conference? It's no good if they're not there.
It's just the government playing both sides of the fence.
Now, you keep up your boycott, and I'm pretty sure Purdue will change his tune. Maybe.
All right. Thanks, bye.
Jackson residence? Hello? Hello?
Puzzled, Simon's mother looks at the phone, then puts it down. In his bedroom, Simon checks his email. He smiles as he reads, "Thank you, keep up the good work. Bravo, Bear Boy." Then, "Get a life, Jackson. Quit your belly aching." His face drops. "Watch yourself, Jackson." He looks serious. "Those bears are in the way. Get a life, Jackson. Burn in hell." Simon looks shocked. He's at the school prom, giving out leaflets.
"Sign this petition of protest. Let your voice be heard. We're asking for responsible logging. Help bring Continental Log and Lumber to the table to discuss the future of Princess Royal Island. Sign this petition. Save the Spirit Bear."
A girl with long blonde hair signs the petition. Simon notices Marcus arrive in a blue dress and boots. They stare at each other while the party goes on around them. Marcus self-consciously trudges over to Simon, who looks away uncomfortably as she confronts him.
We have to talk. Come on, don't be an angel. All right, I'm sorry.
You use me, you leave me alone, and you lie.
Marcus grabs Simon's arm and steers him round a corner.
I never used you, and I never lied.
Right.
Look, I cared about your bear, okay? I cared about you.
No, don't even talk about the bear. You care about, I don't know, making me look stupid. Or maybe you wanted your dad to look stupid, so you used me to get...
It's not my dad, Kay. My dad was an artist, but he'd be dead.
Simon shifts awkwardly.
You stupid yak! I didn't use anybody. I'm my own person, okay? I'm a thinking person.
Whatever.
I wanted to help you. My stepdad has nothing to do with that.
He leaves.
You know what? You don't friggin' deserve me.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much the way I look at it too, right? Whatever gets you through the day.
She storms off. Simon looks exasperated. He strides out of the school. He stops and sighs. He looks up at the full moon over the school. The full moon shines over the forest. A convoy of vehicles, headlights blazing, drives through the dark forest. A white bear wakes up and watches the vehicles. A man gets out of a truck holding a hammer and a bunch of red tape, lit by the beam of a headlight. The forest is lit up by a dazzling glare. The trees are silhouetted against the white light.
Get a light. Burn in hell.
Simon wakes up with a start from his nightmare and looks around his bedroom fearfully. He leaves his bedroom and walks sleepily towards the kitchen.
See you later.
Where's Simon?
Hey, you. You're gonna be late for school.
Hey, Dad, can I borrow the car?
No, sorry. Have you seen my black binder?
But, no, Simon, you just got your license and it's gonna be pissing down, okay?
His mother hands the binder to Simon's father.
Bye. Dad, I really...
No, can I get a lift with you? I don't want to deal with traffic.
Maybe.
Yeah.
See you later.
School.
Yeah. Arms folded, in his pajamas, Simon watches his parents leave. His eyes are light on the car keys on the counter. It's pouring with rain. Simon is driving along a straight road lined with forest. He struggles to see through the rain-lashed windscreen, the wipers on high speed hardly coping with the deluge. Simon's father is at work looking at a TV screen in a dark editing suite.
Larger retailers have agreed not to stock, carry, or sell product from the Princess Royal area. And the logging industry took a hit on the TSC today. Certainly, if the trend continues, it could spell disaster for all...
The government stringently monitors all logging in the province to ensure sound environmental practices.
These left-wing freaks are totally misrepresenting the threat to this bear. We're struggling up here. And this kid is ruining the future for everyone.
No, we have no reason to attend any proposed conference. CLL conducts exhaustive impact studies, and these logging licenses have been obtained legally and legitimately. You know, Simon Jackson has yet to prove that this animal is anything other than a freak of nature. In the meantime, he's impacting an entire industry.
Simon's mother arrives home, tossing down her umbrella and bag, hurrying to the phone.
Jackson residence? Hello? Hello, who is this? Stop calling and leave my son alone.
As Simon struggles to see through the rain, a truck follows him, driving up to his bumper. Simon looks over his shoulder anxiously, then in his mirror.
And his involvement only gets deeper. Despite Continental Log and Lumber's refusal to participate in the proposed conference, Simon Jackson is expected to mediate at a brainstorming session up the coast with other concerned stakeholders later today. Mr. Jackson may come in peace, but with logging already begun on Princess Royal, it may be too late to avert a war in the woods.
Worried, Simon's father turns off the TV and phones home.
Listen, I told you to... Oh, Clive. Sorry, honey. What? The car? No. Why?
The large pickup repeatedly rams the back of Simon's car as he struggles to stay on the road in the driving rain, his face contorted with fear. The truck tailgates him round a sharp bend as Simon swerves from side to side. The truck pulls out alongside him. He looks over at it. The pickup forces Simon off the road, his car sending up a plume of spray. A red ambulance light flashes. Simon's parents rush into a hospital reception.
Over here. Excuse me.
Jackson. Simon.
Simon. Jackson. Simon.
As Simon appears on crutches, they rush over to him and hug him.
Oh, not so hard. Not so hard.
What were you thinking?
He wasn't.
They escort him out of the hospital.
It's too much, Simon. You're way over your head. You've upset too many people.
These calls.
This. No more, Simon.
But
no!
They're not listening. Nobody's listening.
Simon?
The bear, he saved my life. I was gonna save his.
His mother sighs.
You guys made me like this. You brought me up to be like this.
Simon winces with pain.
Risking your life, Simon. You guys were always there, cheering me on. You were proud of me. And we're proud of you now.
Simon, you have got to take this as a win, even though it doesn't look like it is. Come on.
Simon's mother opens the car door for him.
What you're doing is right. We know that.
But you're grounded.
His father pats him on the shoulder and takes his crutches, loading them in the back. His mother helps him in. Wispy clouds suspended over Vancouver. Simon's class.
Well, Mr. Jackson, it is not often that one finds a young person with the courage to rage against the machine, as it were. In fact, in many ways, this reminds me of my own impulsive act. At the G8 conference in 85, I clearly... Oh, Simon, no!
Can I just get this? It's really important.
Simon, your political activities are all well and good, but not when they interfere with...
It's Robert Kennedy Jr.
I'm sorry, what?
Robert Kennedy Jr. He's a major environmentalist.
That's Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, for God's sake, I know who he is. Answer the bloody phone.
Hello?
Simon hops up.
Hello, sir. Yes. Really? That's great. Thank you, sir. The boycott, it worked. CLL's agreed to temporarily stop clear-cutting the island. Yes, sir. Yes. That's amazing. And get this. They've agreed to sit down with the stakeholders and discuss a plan for the area. They're joining the conference. We've got them listening.
Woo! Awesome.
Yes. Bravo!
Here we go.
Thank you.
Miss Starr shrugs.
Oh, why not? It's probably Oprah.
Hello? Oprah?
What?
Kidding. Lloyd, where are you?
Lloyd leans on his truck outside a cafe. As he checks his watch, Simon limps up on a crutch.
Lloyd, great news, huh?
You haven't heard.
What?
Yes, Purdue is willing to come to the table.
Yeah, no, that's great.
You're not invited. Spirit Bear Youth Coalition? No. I wanted to tell you in person. I'm sorry, kid.
Lloyd turns and leaves. Simon is dumbfounded. He looks at a poster of smiling Sir Jarlis Abness. It reads, "Re-elect. Resources are our future." Frank is in his study.
Frank? Sorry.
What?
I was just wondering. If you thought the bear was genetically unique, one of a kind...
Not in the mood, Marcus.
If you did, would it make a difference?
When did I become the bad guy?
She walks towards him, arms folded.
Would it?
Everything that we have, the life that you enjoy, this house, the cottage, the car, it's all from lumber, from what I do.
That wasn't my question.
Okay. If I thought the bear was genetically unique...
One of a kind? And logging the island would mean the end of the spirit bear, forever. Would it make a difference?
Hands clasped, Frank stares intently at his stepdaughter. Simon and Lloyd are in the school computer room.
What difference does it make? They're not going to let us in anyway.
Just let me worry about that, okay? Now, if we can just get your results.
Not ready. Not in a couple of days.
The talks will be over in a couple of days.
Hey, this stuff takes time.
We need you and your results in Vancouver now.
I'm not coming to that place. Comic freaks, they can damn well talk to me like this.
Listen, talking heads are no good. How can we expect to defend this stuff? We need a real live person. We need an expert. We need you.
Sorry.
Come on, Fergus. This is CLL we're talking about. They screwed you over, too. You're Salmon.
Yeah, what about that?
Nope.
Lloyd turns off the computer.
Miserable four-eyed.
Lloyd stands up, looking determined.
I'm going up there myself.
Simon watches, mouth open. Lloyd pauses and looks back.
I'll drag him back by his neck if I have to.
What difference does it make?
Kid, I gotta do something.
He leaves. An aerial view of dense conifer forests. A white bear pads over rocks. Simon is with his parents in their kitchen.
It'll all be over in 2 days, 48 friggin' hours, and there's nothing I can do about it. Even if Fergus comes back with the results, even if Lloyd gets him here, it'll be too late. Everyone will get their part of the island except the bear. We could have made it work for everybody.
Simon, I'm sure it'll be fine. At least they're talking.
Yeah, but we're not part of it. All we wanted was to be part of it, to be listened to like everybody else. The natives have their land claims, CLL wants the wood, the unions, I know they have to make a living, but... And the tree huggers. The bear isn't the only thing they care about. We're the only ones, and we're not even there.
He sits down and opens a large envelope while his father looks at his mother and shrugs. He takes out a ticket, frowning.
Front row. Weird, the truce.
The who's?
Clive.
The truce, they're awesome.
Simon stands up and looks at his mother querulously.
So, are you going?
I'm grounded.
His parents exchange looks. His father sighs, puts down his cereal bowl, and holds up a hand in defeat. He reaches up to the top of the fridge and tosses the car keys to Simon. Simon beams and limps over to his parents, holding up the keys, then putting them down.
I don't think so. An SUV? Environmental nightmare, folks. Thank you so much.
Nighttime. Crowds gather in an auditorium for the Trues concert. As Simon limps through the crowd to his seat, a man pats him on the arm. Another shakes his hand.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks.
He looks around, then takes his seat. A man behind taps him on the shoulder. While they shake hands, Marcus sits down next to Simon. He looks shocked. She half smiles. He seems lost for words.
Come on, lighten up, Jackson.
He frowns, shaking his head as the band start up.
His name is Simon Jackson.
Simon looks stunned.
Are you Marcus? You got around to reading your letters. Except for Sean, he can't read.
Gets me through the day.
They're trying to save the spirit bear. Have you guys heard of that? The spirit bear lives just north of here. They're trying to cut down where he lives. Hell, I'm going to let Simon tell you all about it. Ladies and gentlemen, Simon Jackson.
Simon looks at Marcus, who's beaming at him. A security man helps him up on stage. He shakes hands with a lead singer, who hands him a microphone. Simon stands in front of a huge picture of a spirit bear and looks at the audience nervously under a spotlight.
We will not be silenced by big business.
A girl takes a photo.
Decisions are being made right now
about our future without our input, without our consent. We are the Gulf War generation. We watched as the people in power waged wars over natural resources. We watched them destroy the environment when the oil wells went up in flames. The voice of our generation must be heard. It was the voice of the next generation that brought down the Berlin Wall. It was the voice of the next generation that helped free Nelson Mandela. And it will be our voice, the voice of the next generation that will save this planet for future generations. We will not be silenced. Tonight, it begins by saving this amazing bear, by putting a stop to the clear-cutting of Sector 5, to sit at the table and discuss the future of Princess Royal. And I have hope. I know that together we can and we will save our spirit bear, our planet!
Simon lifts both arms. The crowd cheer. Marcus whistles. Simon hands the microphone back to the lead singer.
Are we going to roll over and let this happen? Why aren't we at the table?
There's only one day left.
One day left. One day left. One day left. One day left.
Of the forest. A spirit bear walks along a fallen tree by a river. Sajala gives a press conference.
One day left! One day left! One day left!
The Ministry of the Environment has never received so many calls in a single period of time, nor has a premier's office. The voice of youth cannot and should not be silenced. This government is committed to including young people in decisions determining the fate of this province and, more specifically, Princess Royal Island. We're delighted to include Simon Jackson and the Spirit Bear Youth Coalition in these discussions.
He stands alongside her. She turns to him and raises her eyebrows. Simon is handed his security pass.
Agreements forged in these meetings will then be taken to the provincial government to be ratified. Thank you so much.
You're the kid who scooped the chews.
The chews?
Could I have your autograph? My niece.
Simon signs his autograph, looking surprised.
Thanks. Thank you.
People pat his back and shake his hand.
Yeah, dude.
Frank turns around and smiles at him, then walks away. The meeting starts.
Rivers in the area will be ruined. Salmon will die. There'll be nothing left.
So you're trying to tell me that ecotourism is going to generate anywhere near the revenue that we receive from logging? I don't think so.
Yes, but the forest is non-renewable.
It's our land.
Please, everyone. We've been over this. Sector 5 is to be logged by CLL. That was determined yesterday. Now, can we please move on?
Sector 5? No, you can't. That's right where the bear is. We can't let them have that. No.
Reforestation.
Reforestation? Florida. It's too mountainous. After you've cut everything down, the mudslides and erosion are going to leave nothing but rock and shallow soil, and you know it. Nothing can grow there. And even if it could, where's the bear supposed to go while it's waiting the hundreds of years it takes to grow a forest? Reforestation? It's a lie. Come on.
Simon.
I mean, it's a done deal. Why'd you even invite me here? PR? Spin?
He looks challengingly at Sajala. She stares back.
You don't get it, do you?
Simon.
It can't be found anywhere else on Earth. Genetically unique.
You've never been able to prove that. When you do, you get back to us, okay?
Simon hangs his head and sits down with a defeated expression. He's outside on the phone.
Later. Lloyd.
The announcement's put out in the morning.
Fergus.
No news is good news?
He looks at Marcus with a pained expression.
Hey, guys, we're back in session. Come on.
The press returned to the meeting.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen of the press, native leaders, representatives of the tourism industry, environmental groups, coastal community leaders, the lumber industry, and other interested parties. After comprehensive and often contentious debate, I'm happy to announce that a consensus has been drawn among the majority of the parties. Logging will begin forthwith on Princess Royal Island, Sector 5 only.
Lloyd drags Fergus in.
Come on, sit in.
Of course, the legislature must ratify these agreements, but I am confident that the process will be a swift one.
Go.
Of course, not everyone will be pleased with the outcome. As with any democratic process,
Spirit Bear is genetically unique.
Simon holds up some papers in front of Sajala and Frank.
Not a freak of nature, not an albino, not a displaced polar bear. Unique, genetically unique, endangered. There's your proof.
He throws the papers down.
Madam, this study, whatever it is, has no credibility. It's self-serving partisan pseudoscience.
The author is Fergus Diogenes, PhD.
Never heard of him. Probably some environmental zealot, some nutcase. Hi.
Minister, your department commissioned Mr. Diogenes to write a genetic report on the coho salmon 2 years ago. And before that, the Vancouver Island marmot. And before that, the marbled murrelet.
Fergus steps forward shyly.
Yes?
Ursus americanus cremode. Double recessive, one of a kind. Protecting the island means protecting the gene pool.
Quite simply put, you lose the island and you lose the bear.
Lloyd Blackburn, Order of Canada.
Sajala and Lloyd nod to each other. Simon looks confident. Sajala glances at Frank. He frowns. Marcus stares at him. Lloyd and Fergus fidget. Simon stares at Sajala. She starts to nod. A man shakes Simon's hand. Frank frowns and looks at Sajala. She sighs. Lloyd hugs Simon. Marcus and Frank exchange looks. He smiles and nods at her. Simon grips Fergus's arm in gratitude. Lloyd ruffles Fergus's hair. Simon pushes past reporters and stands staring at Marcus, who applauds, smiling. Simon grins. He walks through the crowded school hall with a TV crew. The audience hold up placards of support. They pat his back as he makes his way to the stage. Miss Starr gives him a victory sign. His father hugs him, then his mother in the glare of the TV lights. He goes up to Marcus and leads her up on stage with him. Lloyd stands at the back, clapping. Simon and Marcus climb the steps to the stage and shake hands with the principal. A man with a beard presents Simon with a brass plaque. He holds it above his head. The crowd cheers. The principal steers him to one side and points to a huge poster of the cover of Time magazine with Simon on it, which unrolls. It reads, "Hero for the Planet." His parents cheer. Simon beams. Lloyd looks emotional. The man with a beard gives Marcus a badge to pin on Simon. It has a bear's head on it with the letters S-B-Y-C.
Paid for it and everything. I promise.
Simon smiles at Marcus. She takes some gum out of her mouth and sticks it on Simon's nose. They smile at each other, then kiss passionately. Simon's parents cheer. Miss Starr grins. Lloyd half smiles. Simon and Marcus part, then hug each other tightly. They part. Marcus claps. Simon takes the gum off his nose. Cameras flash. The principal watches Simon proudly. The crowd are on their feet. Simon stands in front of the giant magazine cover. His mother dabs her eyes. His father kisses her. Miss Starr cheers. Lloyd swallows and tilts his head, then nods. Cameras flash on the magazine cover. Sunlight glistens on the sea. A caption. Simon's victory resulted in the largest land protection measure in North American history. The Spirit Bear Youth Coalition is the world's largest environmental network of young people, with over 5 million members in 60 countries. With every successive government, Simon and the Youth Coalition continue to work towards protecting the bear's last intact habitat. So far, they are succeeding. The Spirit Bear stands on a jagged rock, the sun shining on its creamy white fur. A caption, www.spiritbearyouth.org. The bear twitches its ears. The end.